as I have tried to think what I should share for my last time with you all. And I thought perhaps I would gain some guidance by looking at 2 Timothy, because that was Paul's last communication with one of his favorite people. And quite frankly, I didn't find it very helpful, because it was like a shotgun. He said, do this, do this, do that, do that, do that. I thought, boy, if I try to say all that, I would be here all day. Probably none of you would be, but I would still be here all day. So I decided maybe 2 Timothy wasn't the place to look. In the end, I thought that perhaps I would share from the book of Colossians, Paul's letter to a local church, because there's a lot in there that can apply to you as a church together, to us as a church together. Now, you may have observed that in my preaching, I'm perhaps a bit more like a tour guide in a museum than like a scholar. Now, when you go into a museum, there are often people down in the basement. They may have the bones of a dinosaur, which they're painstakingly putting together, or they may have a dress which was once worn by Queen Victoria, which they're painstakingly restoring in order to hang on a wax dummy or whatever. They are really buried in the detail. Well, you've noticed my preaching isn't like that. I'm more like a tour guide who's just quickly showing people through the museum and showing them a few of the high spots and hoping they find it interesting. So forgive me if, rather than trying to go into 1 or 2 verses of the book of Colossians today in great detail, we just take a quick guided tour of the whole book. Now that may be asking a bit much, but we're going to have a go. Let me, just as I begin, read a couple of verses out of the middle of the book, chapter 3 and verse 1 through 4. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Set your hearts on things above. That is much of the message of the book of Colossians. Now, the book of Colossians is written to a group of people who have a certain reputation. In verse 2, it says that it's written to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. They're holy and faithful. They already know Christ and are serving Him. So that's the first thing you need to remember, that this book is laid out to help those who already know Christ, who already have come into a personal relationship with Him, who have Him at work in their hearts. So let's not get confused. Let's not think it's to just anyone. This book is to those who are holy, faithful brothers. In verse 4, the author, Paul, says, "We have heard of your faith and of the love you have for all the saints." Now that is a beautiful reputation to have. We have heard of your faith and your love. Now, if they already have a reputation of faith and love, the church at Colossae has an awful lot already going forward. The Colossian believers are already in an enviable place. They have a wonderful reputation, a great place to start. But even though that's the place that they are starting, Paul starts out to remind them of their position in Christ. Now, we have a member of OM. You may have actually occasionally heard him preaching in the market in Oswestry Street. He's an old man in his mid-80s. He's from Oswestry Street, and he's an ex-prize fighter. And you may actually think that he behaves a bit that way, and he does. He's probably taken too many punches in his day, but for a man of 85, he still does remarkably well. His name is Billy Jones. Some of you may have remembered Billy from when he was a fighter in this area many, many years ago. But when Billy talks, he almost always starts out by saying, "Now, here's the position. Here's the position." That's exactly the way Paul starts out. Paul starts out in almost every one of his letters and says, "Now, here's the position. If you know Christ, here is the position." Let's see what the position is for these believers from Colossae. What is their position? Chapter 1, verses 12 to 14. "Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light." So, part of the position, we are qualified to share in the inheritance. We, as Christians, have a glorious inheritance. Jesus Christ has made us joint heirs with Himself. All of the glory that God gives to Christ, Christ in turn gives to us. We share that wonderful inheritance. That's part of our position. How did we get that way? Verse 13, "For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves." Our position is, once we were lost, but God reached out and rescued us. We were like somebody tossed in the waters of that flood in Bangladesh. Most of them drowned. A few somehow were rescued. God has rescued us. That's our position. We have been rescued. We have been saved. We have been brought to Himself. He has rescued us out of the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, forgiveness of sins. What is our position if we know Christ? We are rescued. We are forgiven. We are redeemed. We are living in the kingdom of God. The kingdom that was established by Jesus Christ, the Son whom God loves. That is our position. What is your position? Are you rescued? Are you redeemed? Are you forgiven? Or are you still somehow floundering around, lost in the kingdom of darkness? Our position, if we love Christ, if we have Him in our hearts, is a marvelous position. In verses 21 through 23, Paul goes on with a few more details about the position of the saints in Colossae. "Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight, without blemish, free from accusation." What is your position? Once you were alienated from God. I can remember as a young child being terrified of death. I've mentioned it to you before. And one of the large contributors to my being terrified of death was the terrible stories which my brother used to tell me to try to frighten me. But I was terrified of death. I knew my position was that if I died, I was in a lot of trouble. Once, I was alienated from God and was an enemy of God's. In my mind and because of my evil behavior. But now, like the saints at Colossae, I can say, I am reconciled by Christ. I am holy in His sight. I am without blemish. I am free from accusation. Who is the accuser? Satan. Satan wants to point a finger at me and at you, and he wanted to point a finger at the saints in Colossae and say, look at them, they're not half as good as they should be. Look at them, they fail continually. But the position is that because of what Christ has done for us, when we accept Him, when we receive His cleansing, our position is we are reconciled. We are holy in God's sight. We are forgiven. We are without blemish. If you know God, there is no way that Satan can point to you and say, look at that failure. Look at that flop. Look at that person who deserves death. Yes, it's all true. But in Christ, old things are passed away. All things are become new. It is no longer true of us, because when God looks at us, what does He see? He sees the righteous blood of Christ, which has cleansed us. He sees the love of Christ, which has covered our sin. He sees our position in God, reconciled, without blemish, free from accusation. What a wonderful feeling. What a wonderful knowledge to know what our true position is. Paul goes on, just in case we haven't got it the first time, in chapter 2 and verse 13. When you were dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. What's your position? If you know God, you are alive in Christ. He has canceled the law with its regulations that was against us and that stood against us. He took it away. He nailed it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, that's Satan and all of his evil powers over us, He made a public spectacle of them. Satan has been made a public spectacle of. There's no need to fear him further. He triumphed over them by the cross. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you. What's the position? The position is, you are alive in Christ. Satan has been defeated. The law has no power over you. Therefore, you have nothing to fear. And no one can judge you. That is our position when we know Christ. So, the Colossians had a reputation of faith and love. Their position was wonderful, because they knew God and had Christ at work in their lives. But the book doesn't stop there. Paul almost always organizes his writings in the same way. What's your position? Now, it's great to have position. A lot of people would love to have a wonderful position. Some people even want to be prime minister. I personally cannot understand that at all. But some people think the position of prime minister would be wonderful. Some people think the position of president of the United States would be glorious. Now, some people think that if only they could be president or prime minister for a day or two, they could sort things out like that. I wish it were so. I would love to see some things sorted out. But you know, with position comes responsibility. And the second half of Paul's book here, the short little letter to the Colossians, has to do with their responsibility. If you are a Christian, you have a wonderful position. Reconciled, forgiven, alive in Christ, and an inheritor of the kingdom of God. A wonderful position. No one could have any better. But you also have some responsibility. Now, it's easy for people in high positions to forget about their responsibilities. In the last few years in America, we have seen a number of people who had very high positions in the church forgetting their responsibility and getting into horrendous sin. We have seen in the Middle East in the last few months Saddam Hussein forgetting that with his position of great power, he also had under God the responsibility to be a righteous ruler. And it has caused almost unbelievable suffering in Iraq, among his own people, as well as among the Kurdish refugees. Position carries responsibility. So what's our responsibility? Well, it would be nice if when God took over our lives, He just did everything. He made us what He wanted us to be, and we could just kind of lean back and enjoy. Well, that would be nice. But we do have responsibility. There are some things we have to do ourselves. Chapter 3 and verse 2 says, "Set your mind on things above." Backing up to verse 1, "Set your hearts on things above. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory." If you know Christ, if the position is someday you are going to appear with Him in glory, then in theory, it shouldn't be so difficult to set your heart on things above. It shouldn't be so difficult to determine, I'm going to live not for today, but for eternity. It shouldn't be so difficult. But it often is, isn't it? Set your hearts on things above. That's your responsibility. You have to say, I am going to live for eternity, not for now. Another responsibility in verse 5. "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature." And then there's a whole list. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, idolatry. "Because of these, the wrath of God is coming." You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these. Anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on a new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of the Creator. Your responsibility? Put off those things relating to the old nature. And it's your responsibility to do it. God is not just going to eradicate your old nature. You need to determine follow God. Now, it's easy to get confused here. It's easy to jump right to chapter 3 and think, if I can just eradicate my old nature, if I can stop doing all of these things, somehow I will be able to gain a position with God. That's absolutely backwards. Because we have the position, Paul says, because we have all these things, therefore we are able to put off the old nature. If you do not have Christ at work in your life, if you do not know Him in a personal way, you are unable to put off your old nature because it's the only nature you have. You can only put off your old nature if God has given you in its place a new nature. If God has given you His life in your heart, then you are ready to enjoy that position by putting off your old nature. Verse 12 of chapter 3. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves. Okay, we just had a whole list of things to put off. Excuse me for a second. Now we're going to have a list of things to put on. Clothe yourself. What should we put on? We have a wonderful position. We have a responsibility to put off some things in our old nature. But what should we put on? Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love which binds them all together in perfect unity. Okay, the undergarments, if you like, are compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness. Put them all on. Patience. Forgiveness, even as the Lord forgave you. But then what is that overcoat, that one garment that holds it all together and makes you final, complete in Christ? Finally, over all these virtues, put on love. If your life doesn't have love, you're still not fully dressed. You still don't have everything that God wants you to have. I visited the church in southern Texas. Now, you may have certain ideas about what churches in Texas and California are like from the media. I don't know. But I visited this church in southern Texas, and it had the potential of being a wonderful church. The pastor was a man who believed firmly in the Word of God. He taught it as soundly as you would ever hear it taught. He had the right background, came from the best evangelical school and best evangelical seminary, at least some would say. And yet, his church had split twice in the previous 5 years and was well on the way to splitting a third time. Why? Somehow, although all of the truth was there, there was no love. Everyone was determined that they were right. And if I am right, it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. It doesn't matter if I tromp on someone else's toes. It doesn't matter if I tell them, if you don't like it, get lost. They thought that as long as they had truth, it didn't matter if they had malice, anger, rage, slander. No, that didn't matter because they had truth. Rubbish. Even if you have truth, malice, slander, rage are still works of the flesh. We are called to put those things off and to put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And over all of those things, love. What's the result of all that? Verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. What will be the result if you put off your old earthly nature and put on the nature of Christ? The result will be that there will be peace because you will be able to function as members of one body called to peace. Now, you would find it quite strange if my two hands began to have an argument. Now, some people would say my two hands are actually the same. That's not true. They're actually completely opposite. They're backwards to each other. I mean, they are, aren't they? See? Absolutely backwards to one another. This one, the fingers go out that way. This one. Now, if they started having an argument about whether it was better to be attached to the right side of the body or the left side of the body, and maybe even began to get jealous and try to change sides, it would, among other things, make things very difficult to pick up. And we would think it very, very strange. But in the body of Christ, somehow we think it's not strange at all when different members of the body become jealous of one another because they're different, or begin to fight, arguing about which is better, the left hand or the right hand. Absurd, isn't it? When we have put off the old nature and put on the old nature, the new nature, the result should be peace. Since as members of one body, you are called to peace. And if there's peace, what can we do? Still in verse 15, be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Be thankful. Is there thankfulness in your Christian life? Now, I tried to pick songs this morning that were songs of thankfulness and of joy, and Doris and I tried to force the tempo along, not always successfully. Why? Because I am convinced that the Christian life is a life of joy. If you don't come to church because you want to, because it is a joyful experience, and you want to share that joy with others, then maybe you should look for a different church, because I would like this church to be happy. Now, I just got a rather nasty look from both Digby and Marianne, because they're not anxious for you to look for another church. But we want to worship together in a place where God is among us, giving us joy and peace. Why? Because if we have such a wonderful position, if God has given us so much, how can we not enjoy it? How can we not celebrate the wonderful gifts that God has given us? So what should our attitude be as we come together? Well, thankfulness and joy. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and how should you sing these psalms and hymns and spiritual songs? With gratitude in your heart to the Lord. I hope that when we sing, we are able to sing with gratitude to God for all that He has given us. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Gratitude, thanks, joy, these words pour through the Scriptures. Now, in many ways, the book of Philippians is somewhat parallel to the book of Colossians, but I like the conclusion, perhaps, of Philippians a little bit better. The sort of closing thought in the book of Philippians is in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, where it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice." Do you have joy in your hearts? If your position is in Christ, then it should be easy to rejoice because He has given us all so much. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you have come to offer us a wonderful position in yourself. A position that is without fear, a position that is without guilt, because we have been made alive in Christ, because we have been forgiven through his precious sacrifice. Lord, if there is any here this morning who does not enjoy that position, God, reveal yourself to them. Help them to find you, that they too might be able and ready and willing to enjoy the position that we have together as believers. And Lord, those of us who are still struggling, and we all do from time to time, still struggling to put off our old natures and to put on the love which is your character, Lord, we ask that you would help us, strengthen us, enable us, make it true in our lives as it is in our position, that old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. And Lord, help us, each one, to be able to come to you with thankfulness, with gratitude, coming together, singing, making melody in our hearts, Lord, as it says in Philippians, rejoicing in the Lord forevermore. Greatest of you.